Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 167. I am with my esteemed colleague, Bill.
Yes.
And Dennis will be here a little bit later. Right now, he's out looking for New England vinyl.
No.
No, but seriously, Dennis had something to do, so he's not here for the pre-show, but he is here for the recording. We had Chris Inzak record with us the other night. We're going to talk to Chris about the upcoming Rockin' Pod Expo in Nashville. And we're also going to talk about the Ace Frehley show that we went to, and Chris was there, and Chris hung out with us at Hi-Fi Clyde's in Nashville before the show started.
That was cool, man.
Yeah.
That was a good place.
Yeah, well, the cool part was the Kiss pinball machine thing, but I think we talk about that later in the episode.
We do. I just thought the whole place was kind of cool. I've never been to that part of Nashville, so it was kind of cool to get down there, and it's like, oh, I probably need to go back there sometime. But it was at, what was it called again? Marathon
Music? Marathon Music Works.
Yeah, it was cool.
I think it was
old,
like,
factory looked like.
It was an, well, I thought it looked like an old
warehouse or something.
Like a slaughterhouse or something. I don't know.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That's probably where we need to be. Okay, people are texting me. Stop texting.
I can hear it. Ding, ding,
I know.
Ding.
And they're like on it like a bad habit. Somebody must be catching up.
So,
right, I
don't have anything really to add to the show right now.
Well, that's not good.
Well,
okay, so I got this the other day.
Is it autographed?
Not that I can find. I've looked through the pages.
Send it back. Demand your money back.
No, I got mine from Amazon, so I don't think the Amazon ones were autographed. Anyway, I did get it. I have read about halfway through, for those of you that are on video and can see. And I'm halfway through because unlike the first book, I think I read it in like a day and a half, and it was thicker than this, probably twice as thick as this. This is more of a self-help book, which isn't bad, but it's really just about him kind of finding his way and, you know, how he wants to be a good father and that kind of stuff. And that's okay. But I just, it's not exactly what I thought. It's not bad. It's just not what I thought. I thought some stuff in it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but it's kind of interesting because I know that the audio version. So sometimes if you bought the book, you got the audio as well. It came on a CD, and the audio for this book is not by Paul. It's by somebody else, which is kind of weird because I wouldn't want to listen to a Paul Stanley audio book and it be like Bob. that wouldn't make much sense to me, because when I'm reading this, I can hear Paul saying these words and talking like this. So I wouldn't want somebody named Bob to be like acting like he's Paul Stanley when he's Bob. But,
yeah. You know, everybody that I talked to that has either read the book or listened to the audio has said the same thing, that it wasn't so much about him as it was about helping yourself. So, I've got the audio, but I haven't listened to it yet.
It is about him and just about how he, you know, got past his Mytopia or Myesha or whatever it was, and then
dystopia?
And how he
no.
not dystopia. And then his you know, how he worked with other people and kind of found his way about things, and about his dad. The first part about his dad was really cool, where he has come to grips with his dad and how what he was doing when he was younger and that kind of stuff, and how he's realized now that at one point he wanted his dad to die, and now his dad's 99 years old and he knows the clock's ticking and he ain't too keen on that happening. So, but he mean, you know, he talks about that, about kind of burying those, you know, get rid of those demons and say the things you need to say to people, which everybody knows that, but it's, anyway, it's kind of interesting. But he's got really cool shoes on, for those of you who can see it. See his shoes? Yep.
Are those his animalized pumas?
Those are his pumas. I think there's a pair of those right over there.
Would that make them pumanalize?
It could make them pumanalize. That is correct. Other than that, I did pick up some tickets on the Ticketmaster or on the Live Nation $20 show. I picked up some Sammy Hagar tickets. I saw Sammy once with Van Halen. It was I actually had never seen somebody change clothes at a concert more than Cher until Sammy. So Sammy changed shirts, I'll bet you 50 times. I was like, dude. Anyway, it's just
Maybe
kind of weird.
he's sweating out that Mos Tequila.
It might have been because it was a shed show, so it was pretty hot, and I wasn't that impressed with Van Halen. I saw him and I was like, eh. But I think the band will be really good. I mean, the Circle Band is pretty good, and I've seen the set list. They do a mix of Sammy tunes and a couple Circle tunes, and they do some Van Halen stuff. So for me, I like the Sammy Van Halen. I just didn't like them live. So I like both Van Halens. I think they're dude. Different bands and I like them both and you can all can boo me and throw rocks at me and say bad things. I really don't care
I
because
don't think you have to worry
I'm back here.
about
I'm
that.
like hidden behind a video screen or monitor or
Speaking
I
of
don't know.
$20 tickets, I did break down yesterday and I bought one $20 ticket to the Rob Zombie Marilyn Manson show.
Oh, you did? Is it in
So,
Evansville or just
yeah, it's in Evansville. I think it's on a Sunday
okay.
night, so
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
I can't
Put
wait
two
to see the protesters out there on
th
Sunday. We ain't going to church. We going to yell at
That's right.
the
It'd be better though if they had the show at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
that'd show them, wouldn't it? We're gonna do a
Yeah.
show on Sunday. It's gonna be 10 a.m. We're going to church, people, with the devil. Yeah, it sounds bad. Nothing good's coming out of that. Other than that, I got nothing. Had fun talking to Chris, so
Oh yeah,
here we
talked to
go.
Chris. Got to see Phil Lewis and talked to Ryan via text briefly. Ryan Cook.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, when we were at Hi-Fi, I texted him and
Oh,
told
cool.
him have a good show and stuff. And
You said Phil Lewis. Did you mean Phil Schaus?
no, did I say Phil Lewis?
You did say Phil Lewis.
Holy
I was
cow!
like,
I'm channeling you guys now. No, I was talking to Phil Lewis. I'm joining LA Guns pretty soon.
I was asking,
I'm
is
going to
LA Guns
replace Ace Von
looking for a
Johnson.
bass player?
No, I'm replacing Ace Von Johnson.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll see you
Yeah.
back soon.
Yeah. Well, that they have a revolving door of guitar players.
They do, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for
I
sure.
don't have shout outs ready for this week because I'm a fuckhead. So I'll have shout outs for last week's episode next week. And Bill has nothing else, I have nothing else, and Dennis is off looking for New England records. So guess what? It's time to talk to Chris. Hey Chris, how's it going?
God, how you guys doing?
We are doing fine.
Trying to rest up, man. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a very busy weekend, wasn't
It
it?
was. And we will get to that in a minute.
Yeah, Saturday was rough for me. I felt a little under the weather.
Imagine
Really? I wonder why.
that.
I don't know.
All right, well, before we get into the Rockin' Pod and Ace discussion, I have a listener question from Scott Jefferson, and he wants to know, what song do you never get tired of hearing? And Chris, since you're our guest, I'm going to put you in the hot seat and ask you to answer first.
Well, it kind of links into what we saw on Friday. I'm gonna because it kind of reminded me of that. I'm gonna say "Cold Gin" by Kiss. I never tire of hearing that song.
Fair enough. What about you, Bill?
All Right Now by Free.
That's a good one. I went and saw a friend's band here a couple of years ago, and I knew they knew the song, but they hadn't played for it. And he asked for a request, and I yelled that out. And his wife plays keyboard, and during that song, the little wood click thing you hear throughout the whole song, she does on the keyboard. And the whole time she was doing that, she gave me the finger. All right, Dennis, how about you?
Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. Never get tired of that song. Every time it comes on, and hopefully it's even the live version. I love it. Can't get tired of that song.
Yep. Fair enough. My pick is Kansas's "Carry On, Wayward Son." That
Good song.
is a badass jam.
It is. Good song.
Definitely. Especially the
Oh.
gore version.
Oh man, I think that is the funniest damn thing.
I love that.
I have actually played that on my radio show before.
I like that version.
I do too.
All right. So, Scott, thanks for that question. Anybody else have a question that you want to ask us? Send us an email to contact@agesofrock.com.
Woohoo.
And now let's get into our discussion. Chris is going to talk to us this week about his Rockin' Pod Expo. It's the third one in Nashville. So, Chris, go.
Okay, so Rockin' Pod 2019, it's going to happen. Well, it's the expo is one day, but it's really a 2-day thing because we've got the Rockin' Pod pre-party on Friday, August 9th. And for the podcasters that are registered, we're going to have a podcaster mixer before the show that'll be just for the podcasters to hang out and network and talk and have some drinks together. And then we're going to go ahead to the show, and headlining the show is the Rock and Roll Residency, which you guys are certainly no strangers to. Yeah. And they're going to have we're going to have some of the expo guests performing songs with them in addition to what they normally do. And we're also going to have a band called 8-Ball out of the Cookeville, Tennessee area. They're going to be going on before the residency, and then opening before them is a band called Lipstick Generation. And I don't know if they're two of the guys in the band are actually music podcasters themselves, Greg and Steve from a show called The Lipstick Panel. And they were a part of the expo last year. And yeah, they're going to play some songs to open up the night. So that'll be Friday. And then Saturday, August 10th, it's at Nashville Airport Marriott is where all of this is happening. We're doing it all in the same room. We're going to have the Rockin' Pod Expo. It's going to be probably hopefully dozens of music podcasts on site, recording throughout the day, meeting up with people. We're going to have live podcasting session in a separate ballroom. And that all those will be recorded all day professionally. We're going to have vinyl and memorabilia vendors. We're going to have a rock and metal museum with like stage played and stage worn gear. We're going to have rock themed cosplay. We're going to have some people dressing up rock stars. We had a couple of those last year, but we're going to actually have a contest for cosplay this year. So if you want to come dressed up as Slash, or if you want to be like Ian Wadley last year and dress up like Vinnie Vincent, go right ahead. You know, it's for certain special. We're going to have raffles and prizes throughout the day. We're going to have some really cool stuff raffling off. And then, of course, we've got a pretty good handful of rock celebrities coming in. We've got Michael Sweet from Stryper joining us this year. We've got Brian Forsyth from Kix, Erie Vaughn from Danzig, Jason Beeler from Saigon Kick, Jack Gibson from Exodus, Rick Rule from Every Mother's Nightmare, Jeremy Barber from Green Jello, Drew Fortier from Zen from Mars and Bang Tango, Drew Hanna and Jim Darby from Wildside, and that'll be announced this week, but also Stephen Chereau from Kick Tracy is going to be coming back this year, so we're excited to have him. And I've got a big one that I'm going to be announcing in the next few days. I can't say just yet because I want to make sure I get everything in order before we announce it, but yeah, if you let's just say if you're a little twisted, you are going to enjoy who we announce next.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun weekend. We, you know, this is the third year we've done it. And for the podcasters, if you're a music podcaster and you want to join us, you get a pretty cool thing with registering. You can get an exhibitor table. We're going to have an education track that'll have speakers and workshops on how to build your audience or even how to start a show if you're interested in starting a podcast and build your social media following. It's going to be an interesting day of that type of thing. And then all the onstage panels that we're going to have are going to be conducted by some of the podcasts that are registered. So you get to interview somebody at live on stage. And then obviously there'll be interviews at the podcaster tables with some of the guests. So for me, for Decibel Geek, which is my show, we do a series called Albums Unleashed, and we're going to do one on stage with Michael Sweet to talk about the Soldiers Under Command album from Stryper. So we're super excited to have him on stage and talk about that. But more guests being added all the time. You can get all your info, tickets, register your podcast. Just go to rockinpod.com. Easy as that. And obviously hit me up on Facebook if you have any questions. I'm happy to talk to anybody about it.
Well, spell out that .com name for the people who are just listening.
Okay. ROCK, the letter N. POD.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
For the
I'm expecting you guys to wear the matching blue polos again this year.
I was gonna wear it last year.
Didn't that was last year. We ain't wearing them this year.
That was the funniest thing ever.
It's in the bag right back here. I can grab it if you want me to.
Yeah,
I had an idea
there.
I had an idea to tell all the other podcasters to wear matching polos, but not tell you guys, so then everyone else would be wearing the polos.
They would look like dorks, wouldn't they?
We're all, everybody else except for us is part of the Best Buy squad now.
Exactly right.
Geek squad.
Yeah.
Never really thought it was a cool idea until we got there and did it, and then about 10 minutes later, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I have these things, and I'm like, what color you want? Bill's like, so if anybody that doesn't know that is watching YouTube right now, this is that shirt. They are blue polos that had our little insignia on the side. We thought it was a great idea.
I actually kind of liked it. I know other people gave you heat for it, not me though. I thought it was cool.
It was light heat. It was not rock and roll, but it was interesting. It was fun. Hey, I tell you what, though, we got talked about, and that was good.
Still bringing it up 2 years later.
Exactly.
Legendary.
But I'm excited to have you guys back. You guys have been super supportive to me doing this thing for the last 2 years, and you're always, you know, pimping it out, and I really appreciate it because it means a lot to get the support from you guys. It really does.
Well, when we came down to that first time, I mean, we were so green. I mean, we had blue shirts on, but they should have been green because, you know, we went in there, honestly, I mean, Bill and Alan will both say, we had just started our podcast. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know when we got there how we were going to, you know, be treated or what. You know, we were, honestly, I was about half, you know, scared shitless because I was like, oh, you know, what are we getting ourselves into? And then once we got down there, I mean, it was so very welcoming. As soon as we walked in, you know, kind of laugh about the shirts and then everything, but then it was like, you know, what can we do to help you? What can we do to do this? And you need this, you need that. Everybody was so helpful. And, you know, by the end of the day, it was like, this is really cool. And
now it's all bets are off. We're all going to spar at the next one.
Yeah. We'll have a big mat and a big ring.
There was, you know, there was an event earlier this year that I thought might Some Facebook messages and stuff like that got thrown around that I thought that might actually be a possibility.
No, it was one of those situations where after we got there and the first round that we did with you guys, it was like this is really cool, and the podcast family are more than welcoming, and they are very good gracious about helping out, and you know, we jump. The thing is, it's not a really competitive area from what we do here, you know, because everybody is, you know, we cross do each other's shows and everybody's out to help everybody else. And, you know, it's a good deal, you know, that's what I like about it. So,
yeah, that's been probably the best part that's grown out of it has been the community. And it's that was kind of the initial idea, was because it all started from a bunch of us guesting on each other's shows over the year through Skype, like we're doing right now. And,
right.
Like, it'd be cool to hang out sometime, and then it would just end there because it's like, well, you live in Nebraska and I live in Florida. So, but to have like Ken and Gary from Podkiss, they've been doing that show for almost a decade together, and they had never even met each other. To see those guys actually meet in person, that was just so cool to see. And then it's just, we've had so many friendships that get made from this event every year, and having new shows, like you guys were in your first year when you came, and then, you know, Peter from I Love It Loudcast came last year, and now he's up and running. But yeah, just to see new shows get built on it. And, you know, I think, and also the big thing for me is, like, I initially called in favors to get these guests the first year, just saying, hey, you've been on my show or so-and-so show, and you live in Nashville, would you come and sign some autographs and you want to do some interviews? And I thought they were doing me a favor, and then they'd come back and be like, no, radio is not helping us out anymore. So it's kind of became a legitimate promotional arm. And to get so much love that we get from a lot of these guys that we grew up listening to is just awesome. I mean, and knowing that we can actually help out, get their product out to the people, I mean, that's just it's a great byproduct of what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was one of the things, like, with, you know, even with Steven and Michael, you know, they were actually guests on our shows. They did everybody's podcasts. You know, when we were having that fundraiser
the way they did that was genius. That was a genius way to get their podcast started.
Exactly. Then they were going to start that, you know, Growing Up Rock, which, you know, they did. And then, you know, and then Sonny crossed over to, with, you know, not only with that, but then with Joe Polo and them guys. And then, yeah, it's just a great thing. It's awesome.
Well, lots of fun. Can't wait.
So what kind of
a big hug.
What kind of different ticket levels do you have for the people who want to come to the podcast?
Okay, so for the tickets, if you're not a podcaster and you just want to come, there are different levels of what you can do. We do have a general admission, which is $20 to get in, and that means you get in from 11 o'clock on. And then, but if you want to get in early and get kind of first crack at the vinyl, and that's the big thing we usually sell the early bird admission for, people that want to get to the vinyl vendors before everybody else and see what they can get, that's $25. And then we also have VIP levels. There's a $50 Rock Fan VIP pass, and that'll get you early admission. You get a limited print that we're going to do for this year. You're going to get priority line position and the autograph line, priority seating for the panels, and you'll get a swag bag when you come in the door. So, and then there's the Rockstar VIP pass, which has all of that stuff included. You also get an exclusive collectible laminate. You also get a Rockin' Pod VIP t-shirt, and that's $100. And then the highest one, which is, it's funny, it's become the most popular one, which is $200. It's the Rock God VIP pass. You get everything I've just mentioned. Then you also get one autograph, one photograph ticket for select guests. You also get free admission into the Rockin' Pod pre-party concert that's on Friday, August 9th. So there's a lot of benefits to get to. And I do want to throw this out there because I just set this up this week because I've had several people, you know, we did it through GoFundMe the first 2 years, and we had a lot of listeners to shows say that they, you know, they can't make it to Nashville, but so they would throw money at the GoFundMe to try to help out. I do have a donation option on this ticketing site. It's called Friends of Rockin' Pod. And if you want to throw some money into that, we will put that towards the operating expenses. And then there's certain levels where you can get some stuff in return for your donation mailed to you if you can't make it to Nashville. So we kind of got you covered either way. And then we have the pre-party concert, which I mentioned earlier, and we are working on getting an acoustic after-party concert in the ballroom to take place after the expo. So that'll be announced as we go. I'm working on getting which guests are going to be involved with that.
So the Friday pre-party.
Hold on a second, Dennis.
Sorry.
I want to ask, get a clarification.
Okay.
You mentioned that with the Rock God event, they get an autograph and a photograph of select guests. Mm-hmm. Do they get to select the guest, or is that something the Rockin' Pod is going to be selecting?
Well, I have to clear it with the guests that we have announced to see which ones are open to that, because some of them are charging money and taking the money for their autographs and photographs. So
okay.
I have to get clearances on that first. But once I get the list together of who has given clearances to do it, then we'll have the list that we'll provide to the buyer, and then they can decide which one they want to get.
Perfect. Thanks for the clarification.
Happy to do it.
All right. Go ahead, Dennis. Sorry.
And then as far as the Friday night concert, with the Rock and Roll Residency and Eight Ball.
I was going to say the lipstick panel.
So the only way to get to that is to get the premium, the biggest package. You just can't buy a ticket for that show.
No, you can just buy a ticket for that. It's $20, and there's a link on the website.
That's what I want to make sure, because if somebody wanted to go see the Rock and Roll Residency, that's why I didn't know, and they didn't want to maybe, you know. Who wouldn't want to go to the next day's events? But I'm just saying.
Sure. No, there's an option there. If you just want to go to the concert, you can just get a ticket for the concert and
gotcha.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. That's what mm-hmm. I want to do. So, okay. Awesome. Well, that's going to be, I can't wait. It's just going to be so much fun. And like I said, I've stayed at that hotel twice. It's a great place. It's a first class facility, and it's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome night.
Yeah, they've been great to work with. The room that we're doing the main expo in is a big domed convention room. It's awesome. Really cool. It's got a stage and lighting and everything. It's great. It's definitely a step up from the first 2 years. Although Nashville Palace was a great venue last year, I was happy for that. But we want to try to make it go a little bigger every year. So I think this might be a good home base for it if it works great this year.
Yeah, exactly. No, like I say, it's in a good place where you're not actually downtown, but if you want to go downtown, and for the people who are staying at the hotel, which I will be staying there for 2 nights, If you want to go downtown, it's basically a, I think it's $20. They'll come and get you in a little bus, take you down, drop you off, and you can come back at any time. They leave you every 30 minutes and bring you back. So it's really nice. Yeah, it's a cool place to be at.
And that reminds me, I have to mention, if you go on the Rockin' Pod website, click on venue, we do have discounted rooms blocked out for the weekend. So, it, you know, if you plan on to come to the pre-party concert and the expo the next day, it's probably, you know, your best deal is to just stay on site. You don't have to drive anywhere. You're there for the whole weekend and it's all good.
Yeah, the prices on the hotel, you can't beat those prices. I mean, I've stayed there and it's actually cheaper than what I paid before. So it's in Nashville. You know how Nashville's getting anymore anyway, with their hotels are getting to be ridiculous on the weekends. So it's mm-hmm. it's a great deal.
It's a seller's market. That's why.
Well, exactly. The downtown area, the hotels, you have to almost take out a second mortgage just to stay in a hotel.
It's like, wait a minute, I just paid my house payment and it wasn't that much. And you just want one night. That's all I want.
Hey, Chris, what do you, do you know what the numbers were of attendees from the first 2 years, the first or the second? You see, was there a lot of growth from between the first 2 years?
Yeah, we just about doubled it from year one to year two. So year one was between like 150, 200 people through the door all day. And then we had in the 400 range last year, and we're hoping to double that this year and get up close to 800 if everything goes well.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. That's great. Cool. Hey, we might be getting the convention center soon. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Wait till we have our first Rockin' Pod at Bridgestone. That'll be really cool.
There you go.
Yeah, awesome. You can attend my wake while you're there, because I don't think I'll live through that.
Are you saying there may be one of your family members that may not let you take that on?
Yeah, the one that's in the next room.
Well, you know, the cool part, like you were talking about too, the cool part is everybody, you know, all the podcasts are always willing to help out and do whatever and, you know, just chip in that's the cool part too. I mean, that's for me has been it was amazing that first year, just how you left that event and all of a sudden you just had this big, all of a sudden like 40 new friends.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. So, did you mention it? I think maybe you did, but I didn't. There is going to be a podcaster's jam at the end of the night on Saturday night.
Yeah. So what we're doing, like we've got the main convention hall, but we also have two other rooms blocked off. We have a smaller ballroom that's just down the hall from the convention room. And we're going to do the live podcast sessions all day there. But we've also, our good buddy Lee McCormick from the Tramps Like Us podcast will organize the jam again this year. And we'll just have gear set up throughout the day on the stage behind where we do the live podcast recording. And at the end of the day, we'll do the jam session there. And then we have a boardroom for the educational track. But so we'll have the jam session there. And then by the time the jam session there is over, we should be ready to start the acoustic after party in the main ballroom.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm trying to time it as well as possible to where people don't miss anything.
So you're practicing, right, Chris? I know you mentioned you're going to do something.
How many guitars have you thrown down the stairwell?
Well, I know that was a joke. I'm not even going to bring it up, but it's an inside joke. But it's
if I go through with that, it's got to be $300 tickets, of course.
That's true. That's true. And only 60 people. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope we do better than 60 people this year.
Okay. And like I said, mentioning that we did talk, we did see you the other night in Nashville.
That was a great time hanging out with you guys.
That was a good time. And
well, you cannot go wrong hanging out in front of a table that looks like a damn KISS pinball machine.
What a waste of a pinball. I mean, I hope that thing was dead whenever they gutted it, because that's a shame. Because you can rebuild anything. I've seen people take cars and rebuild them from scrap.
But Ted, I'm going to start hunting for a broken KISS pinball machine, and I'm going to make one of those for my garage. Don't
rebuild the damn thing, and we'll make a new pinball machine.
No!
Bring it to the expo.
Exactly. But anyway, we went to a place that Chris he mentioned. It was Hi-Fi Clyde's.
Yes.
I was going to say High Tide Harry's. When we go to Florida, we always go to High Tide Harry's. That's why I was, anyway, Harry's. But anyway, it was a great place. That place is just super cool. I love those couches, and they have these tables. I don't know if anybody's ever been there before, but there's have these tables that are basically old pinball machines that they've gutted and took the actual playing board and made a table out of them. So we were sitting, of course, at the KISS pinball machine, and then the one behind us was the Playboy, 77 Playboy Bally. I used to own pinball machines. That's why I know this. And then there was, I forgot what the one behind that one was.
Because you had a 77 Playboy, it was because of the pinball machine. I believe only one of those.
I'm into arcade machines. I had a 71 Bally Vampire and worked on it for a long time and kept it going and just sold it here recently. But anyway. But it was a cool place. And then when I went to the bathroom, I noticed that that was had the mural back in the back room there that had the two guys from Rock and Roll.
Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Yes. I was like, well, yeah. That's what you guys
are doing. Yeah, and you just reminded me to mention this because I haven't announced it yet. But we had basically the guy everybody calls DC 101 guy and the guy that was Graham, who's like, Graham a dope man. And we had both of them the first year, and we did a quick little, it's a 15-minute movie, so it's easy to screen. So we did a screening of that and a Q&A with them. DC 101 guy has stayed in touch with me over the last 2 years, and we text all the time, and he hit me up the other day, and he's like, I'm going to come back to Nashville for your convention. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. So I'm going to work on trying to get one or two other people from the movie to come back. Because that was one of the...
Kid Zebra guy.
I'm trying. I am.
I want that dude.
I've actually reached out to him, so I'm hoping to hear back soon.
If you need help, we'll help. Whatever I can do, I'll send him. Okay. I'll stalk his house.
Well, we had, I figured, well, I might as well, because that was one of the main things from the first year that a lot of people that I've talked to, they're like, oh, I'm so bummed that I didn't get to go to that to see those two guys. So I was like, if I got one of them coming back, I need to get at least another one to come back and celebrate it. So exactly. I'm excited to have him back.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was one of those weird things that I came across that video a long time ago and actually bought it. And Bill had borrowed it from me and stuff. And then when we went down there, when you said they were going to be at the Rocket Pot, I was like, I can't believe somebody else in the world knows about that movie, because it was this underground, cult classic for a long time.
And thanks to the magic of YouTube, it's gotten a whole new following. And but like Nirvana used to watch that on their tour bus on repeat on a VHS tape. And when Johnny, who's DC 101 guy, when he came the first year, he didn't have any idea until I asked him to come to the expo, even about the movie. He had no idea. And I was able to track him down. So His mind was just completely blown that whole weekend with all these people coming up to him and raving about the movie. Cause he's like, I didn't even know this existed. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
with Zebra Boy, when they showed up at his house in that documentary, on the video, the guy was like, he didn't even really want to, like, okay, yeah, that's me, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, but he actually showed up they did like a reunion party in Maryland, and he showed up for it and was a good sport about it. So I'm hoping he might be interested in coming, because I think it would be really cool to have him.
It'd be fun for him. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway, but we were down there. While we were there, we went and seen a little show. Little Ace show. No, I'm trying to segue.
There's some dead space there.
There's dead space.
Well, okay, Dennis always forgets that we put the what's going on in the title and the description. So everybody already knows we're talking about the Ace show next.
Well, I know, but everybody's like kind of sitting there going. So we went to the Ace show. Chris, did you go to the A show?
Oh, I did go to the A show, and I had an amazing time, and I had a feeling it was going to be a good show, especially with who his backing band is, but it well exceeded my expectations. I mean, I thought he was just on all night long, and just the whole band just killed the whole night. I don't have any complaints, really. I mean, and going into it, I was a little... like, well, he just does so much KISS material. I do wish I could hear more Fraley's Comet and some of the stuff off the latest albums. But you know, it was almost one of those things where I saw Kiss a few weeks ago in Nashville, and it was almost an interesting way of comparing and contrasting the two performances of some of the same songs. And Kiss was a great show. I enjoyed myself, but I didn't really have that magical feeling I used to get from Kiss shows, but I got it at the A show. I was just very blown away by his performance that night.
Well, let me ask you, did you go to the show he did in 2008 at the Wild Horse?
I did not, but Aaron did go to that.
Okay. Did Aaron say which show he thought was better?
He said this was the best A show he's ever seen.
Yeah, I was at the Wild Horse show, and one of the guys that went rode down to Nashville with us was at the Wild Horse show with me, and he and I both also agree that this is probably the best we've ever seen Ace. I mean, even his physical appearance, you know, he looked a whole lot healthier. You know, when we saw him in 2008, he was still freshly sober, still coming off of whatever his demons were, and you could tell he didn't feel as good back then as he did two nights ago.
Right. Yeah. It was an incredible show. I mean, he was nailing every solo. And then the crowd was one of the best parts of the show, because everyone was just going crazy and everybody singing along, especially when they did Cold Gin. They just let the crowd sing it. I live in Nashville. I go to a lot of shows here. I haven't seen a Nashville crowd like that in a very long time.
I was impressed when they started doing Watching You, and the drummer started singing it, and you couldn't hear him, so the crowd just took over.
Yeah.
It was just, for me, it was just, I'd never seen Ace solo, so that was really kind of a unique experience, but that's where I wanted to go. But I was just blown away. The energy level, actually, to be honest with you, the energy level of the first band was really good.
Yeah, they were
the openers, which was the Georgia Thunderbolts, which right. Nobody'd ever heard of, never came good. Out there, and he did a really good job warming up the crowd, I thought. Yeah. I mean, everybody seemed to be into it, and they did a good job. But when Ace came out, it was just, you were pretty much, it was on fire for an hour and a half or an hour and 40 minutes or whatever it was, because it was crazy. And I liked the set list. I thought it was not, I didn't think it was bad. You know, he's going to play Kiss songs. He has to play Kiss songs. That's just the way it is. I have no issue with that. So, but yeah, it was cool. The interesting thing is when we left, I had taken Noah, and Noah had never seen Ace ever, period. So, when we left, I said, I said, what do you think? He goes, that was really, really, really good. It was great. I said, well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And he said, I really can't figure out which is more shocking. The fact that he could create those riffs or that Tommy Thayer can play them.
Interesting.
He said, because for Noah, Tommy Thayer is his Kiss. That's his guy. Because he's 18. So, right. You know.
That's all he knows.
That's all he knows. So, but he said, and it's kind of weird, because before he said that, I spent a lot of time really just watching Ace play. Right. Just watching his hands and the fretting. And I don't play guitar, so, you know, whatever. But it was kind of weird, because I was thinking the same thing. How did he get that tone and sounds and riffs and, you know, that sloppy stuff he does and things like that? But it was really, really cool, though. It was cool to be in that size of a venue, and we weren't up close. We weren't like, I mean, we were
like 50 feet away, dude. Great.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was a perfect spot.
But we were in the back of the crowd, but it was great. And you could see really, really well. But I spent a lot of time just watching him just play.
Right.
And man, there's another player for Kiss that has no chance in hell of ever being able to play anywhere one tenth of that. And I have no doubt about that. So whether there's 60 people in the room or 30 or 250 or 14,000, it's never going to happen. So, but I was just amazed at his playing ability. Right. I mean, I don't know why. I guess because I was the venue and where we were at and being able to just kind of really watch. Because that's not something, you know, you can't do that when you're at Bridgestone Arena. You know, you're so far away, you can't see them really literally playing too much. So, yeah, it was amazing. I'm glad I went. And if to come around again, I will go again or come somewhere close. But but I'd be interested to know too, somebody that saw Ace probably on the last tour, his last set of shows,
before he got with
Richie and those guys, and before he changed to, you know, Ryan and Philip and Matt and Jeremy, because they brought it, man. They brought it like there was no tomorrow. That band was on fire.
That's new blood. I mean, that's new blood.
That may be what's going on with him. He's got a new energy. He's got a new, you know, those guys are pushing him. I think that was the cool thing about Gene. When we went to see Gene, it was those guys were making him play stuff that he hadn't played before. They're pushing him. Yeah. And maybe that's what Ace needed. Ace just has gotten a little bit. Over time, you know, you get a little bit lazy and you play the same stuff and you don't play with the same energy level. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, exactly. I think that you're right on. You hit it right on the head. I mean, Ace needs that kick in the butt, and he's got a band now that's not going to give him any fucking. They're not going to sit back and let him be anything but the best, because they're out there putting out 120% every night. So Ace is not going to get lazy on them. You know, they're not going to let, because I honestly think that they would say something to him. It's like, dude, you know. We're out here kicking our ass, you know. I honestly think that would happen, but I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but
no, I think they definitely make him play up to a higher level, and
right.
And I think I wasn't at the Florida show from, you know, he did have some show in Florida like last year or earlier this year, and from what I was reported at the time, he was not in good shape, and it was like right after the whole falling out with the ultimatum about the gloves are off and all that, and like people saying he was visibly upset and he just didn't seem to be into it at all. But I don't know what he's done, but he's eating his Wheaties or something. But he was just killing it the other night, and I love Kiss, and I think Tommy does an admirable job. But just watching him play up to the level he played the other night is just like. I'm sorry, but I think he's musically the soul of the band, and I think you heard it in full volume on Friday.
Of course.
So do you think that he could handle doing, if they invited him, the remainder of the end of the road tour?
I don't see why not after what I just witnessed. I mean, he just did a full set of songs, and I mean, I think he's more than capable, but then again, you know, he's not doing arenas and he's not, you know, living high on the hog like they do when they do the arenas. So maybe Paul and Gene know what they're talking about. And they're like, you know, for Ace's own good, we don't need him back in the band because maybe he'll destroy himself again. You know,
I kind of felt the same way.
Right. Yeah. So that might be a preventive measure more than anything else, but as far as him being able to play a 2-hour set, I don't see how he'd have any trouble doing it myself.
Exactly. No, like I said, I was really, first thing out too, before I say anything about the show, I want to give a shout out to Ryan, because we were on our way down and we posted a picture of us coming down, you know, and Ryan, you know, here Ryan's getting ready to play Nashville, took the time out to make some comments on our picture, you know, hey, you know, we took a picture there at the when we were sitting there eating, and he, you know, commented again.
We weren't eating, we were drinking.
Well, drinking. Okay, whatever. But then, you know, and then of course, then Philip Schaus comes in, you know, with his girlfriend or wife and his mom and dad, you know, take the time to stop by. Hey, how you guys doing? Those guys, I tell you what, they're the most golden motherfuckers that ever walked the face of this earth. I mean, they are the most honest, down to earth, nicest people you're ever going to fucking meet ever. And some of the best players you're ever going to hear. And like I said, it just floors me that the fact of that they're just that genuine of people. And I'm glad to be, you know, glad that I know those guys. But like I said, getting to the show, you know, there again, like you said, I would have liked to hear, I like to have heard more of Ace's solo album or some other songs that Ace wrote, you know, not maybe take a couple more of the Kiss songs out. But just like with the Kiss show that we saw down there or seen twice now, you know, it's so damn good. You can't bitch about it. I mean, it sounds great. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned with your son as far as, you know, him knowing Tommy Thayer. You know, I give Tommy Thayer, basically, whenever I hear him play with Kiss, I just expect him to know Bill's fucking notes, you know, note for note. And I don't even really think about it. But when Ace plays, I listen to that shit so close. I'm like going, okay, is he going to fuck up? And I tell you what, he was so fucking on that night in Nashville. It was just, I mean, those solos were just absolutely note for note. Even the sloppiness. When you can play that fucking sloppy note the same as you did on the album, the dude was, I mean, he was on. I like I said, you can give Ace shit for as many bad shows as he's had, but this was a good show. And he fucking outdone himself. And like you said, he looks like he's having fun. Like Alan said before, he looks healthy. He you know, just let him keep going, you know, and hope this continues on. And like I said, I think the band that he's got now is helping him get to that point. Like I said, you got a bunch of hungry, they're out there. They want to play this. They want to do that. And they're, you know, and Ace, you know, you can play anything you want. These guys will back you up. I guarantee it. So don't be afraid to play some.
You know, and Ryan, we spoke to him that one time, and he said that he never would have ever imagined that someday he's playing with Gene Simmons, and then someday now right. He's playing with Ace Frehley. So right. He said, "How did that happen? You know, how did that happen?" Right. So those guys are bringing, like I said, they are bringing an energy level as fans as well as right. players. And I think Alan's right. You know, it does push Ace to play right. at a different level. I think that's definitely the case. And it was a great show. I definitely want to go again. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
And it was good to see, like I said, it was good to see you, Chris. And then we ran into ET, and like I said, we ran into Philip. I was hoping to run into Christopher Williams. I think he was more backstage and he was there that night, but I think he was back talking to Ace because he was a previous band member. but no, it was good seeing a lot. We saw Mike Williams. I'm going to forget people, but anyway, it was great seeing it. So many people in that area at that show. So it was a fun time. Good time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, do you have any final thoughts on the Ace show?
Oh, just still kind of on a high from it, man. I mean, we just I don't have to tell you that Aaron enjoyed it because Ace is basically God to him. So it was also a part of the pleasure turning around and seeing him just grinning ear to ear the whole time. But just great to see such a good turnout for Ace and the guys. And I'm just, like you guys said, I'm just so happy for Ryan, Jeremy, and Phil, and for Matt Starr. I mean, there's real chemistry with all of them. You know, I think it's, you know, and it's the next logical step to me with Ace and with Gene is to record records with those guys. I think I think there's two awesome records in both of them. You know, I've told those guys in person, they need to get you in the studio. And they're like, well, you got to talk to them about that. But, I just was blown away. It was great to hang out with you guys. I mean, all these shows and expos and everything, it's just, it's cool to hang out with your friends. I was telling my wife the other day, I was like, podcasting has basically allowed middle-aged men to live like they used to in high school.
Except for we can buy beer legal.
We just weigh a little more and have a little less hair or it's different color.
None of us can fit in a locker, but it's close.
Yeah. We need a big ass locker to lock us up in there.
did you guys know anybody that got the meet and greet or the autograph thing or whatever?
My friend Ace? We had Jason Herndon on the show here a while back, but he went and did the meet and greet.
What did he say? How was it?
He said it was a great time. But I will give Jason a shout-out for this year getting a good picture. We did the meet-and-greet at the Wild Horse back in 2008, and whoever was taking pictures didn't really know how to take pictures. And I was fortunate because my picture turned out great. And Jason's picture looked like somebody took the Photoshop blur tool and just blurred out his whole head. So all the time, you know, somebody will bring up Ace and I'll say, hey, Jason, tell him about that picture. And it, fuck you, Tater.
So Alan, where was that even offered? I didn't even see that as an offer, as a meet and greet. Was it on that?
It was site, on the ticket fly line? Site.
Yeah, it was on the ticket website.
How much was it for that? Do you remember?
I don't know. I didn't. I just wanted a cheap seat or a cheap ticket. I was going in to see the show.
Which was one was that little bar area or whatever it was up there. Now,
the Lux Loft.
I have to give another credit out too. That Marathon Music place is really nice. I like that place.
Yeah, they've improved the sound in there, because I went to a farm rock festival like 2 years ago there, and all the sound was just bouncing everywhere. Right. And I was thinking going into the show, I was like, I hope it's better than that. And whatever they've done, because it sounded great. You could hear everything good.
Yeah, online. It was. The sound was really good. The parking sucks, of course. We didn't. We got there early, so we parked right up front. But I mean,
wait a minute. Now we parked right in front of the damn door.
No, but my wife and I have actually went there not during day hours when they got that, because they got all those antique places and shit down there. But it's a fucking nightmare to park down that place. But anyway, we got there early and got a good place. It was a great trip and then. It was the greatest trip back from Nashville to Evansville that I've ever took.
You know why it was great? Because Dennis slept the whole way home.
Did I snore? Kelly asked, and I forgot to ask you, was I snoring too?
If you were snoring, I never heard it, dude.
Dude, I think he was passed out. It's not the same.
We stopped at a gas station. Well, we stopped at a gas station right outside of Nashville. And I got chicken tenders, and I had packed some waters in my cooler. So I drank the water. And I had about 4 chicken tenders with some dipping sauce. And I took my coat and I put it against the window. And the next thing I know, we're on Green River Road, like a mile from Casey's.
That was great.
I'm like, that was the greatest trip home ever. I didn't know any of it. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Well, Bill, do you have any final thoughts about the Ace show?
Nope. Glad I went. Definitely would go again. And I'm glad I took Noah, because that might be the last big show he gets to go to for a while. So, but he did remind me that he's going to make sure he gets to a show in Madison Square Garden before I get to one.
There, that's funny.
That is not right, dude.
Bill, it was really good seeing it was really good seeing Noah again. I tell you what, you've done very well with him. He's a fine young man.
Thanks. You
know, I concur. And I'm glad I got to talk to him before he left.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. Thanks.
Pretty soon he's going to be a fellow veteran, and I'll always have love for that guy.
There you go.
It's a brotherhood y'all just don't get.
Yeah. And he listens to us faithfully. He listens to the shows every week, so
yeah,
for sure.
Well, Dennis, do you have any final thoughts about the Ace show?
No, it was just a great time. It was, like I said, Chris, it was good seeing you. It was good seeing everybody else that we went down there with, and just to be able to have a great night of music like that with a bunch of friends, you can't beat that. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, Chris, pimp your Rockin' Pod Expo website one more time. And since you are the Decibel Geek, dude, why don't you pimp through your podcast as well?
Okay. Well, thank you. Rockin' Pod Expo happening Friday, August 9th and Saturday, August 10th. All details, tickets, how to register your podcast, get your VIP, sign up as a vendor, sign up as a sponsor, please. Go to rockinpod.com. And for Decibel Geek, we're now in our 8th year. So check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever fine podcasts are sold for free. And decibelgeek.com is kind of the home base. And hit us up on Facebook, and we really appreciate it.
Cool, awesome. Man.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Everybody, visit us on agesofrock.com and do our Stitcher and our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of that other stuff. And until next week, peace out.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.